Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, welcome to week three of Satan Unmasked. Happy Father's Day, everybody. And man, last night I didn't know any. Yeah, give them a hand, all you dads. Happy Father's Day to you. Last night, I had no idea that was coming, and so at least I had overnight to prepare again. Man, that it does wreck you. And so, man, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for my kids and for Michelle. And we're just so grateful. And I'm never at a loss for words typically, but that just, it's hard for me to even talk beyond that. I'm so thankful for my kids. And I want to wish every one of you a happy Father's Day. This week, as we go into the third part of this series, Satan Unmasked, I want to talk to you about something that men really like, authority. And now for most of us, we're happy to have authority in our homes over the clicker. And, you know, how many of you men like to control the clicker? It was in our wedding vows. I don't know about yours, but she vowed to let me hold the clicker. And, but I want to talk to you today about having authority in three worlds. What does it mean to have authority in three worlds and how that works? And because I want to strip away the veneer of religion from you and help you understand that Christ Jesus is alive. And he transferred and delegated that authority to you that has literally impact and power in three realms. And we'll show you that in the scripture today. This church exists, and it really does exist, so that you can experience the unconditional love of God in your life. Because once you know how much God loves you, it's a magnet to follow him. That's why the Bible said the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance or life change. Until you know how much God loves you, you'll always try to earn him. You'll always let the voice of religion and the voice of the enemy paint God in a very horrible light. There are four things that should happen for every Christian in their life. And really, we built our ministry here at Victory around those four things. God desires for you to have four things in your life. And if you'll come to church over a period of literally 1 year, make it a consistent part of your life where you do the things that are available here, I promise you, you will not recognize your life as it is today. Because Jesus said the truth, it will make you free. It will make you free, and freedom is an amazing thing. In fact, the Bible said Christ Jesus came for freedom, and he came to make you free. The first thing we want you to do is we want you to know God. We want you to know who he is. We want you to understand that he's just not God to you, but he's your heavenly Father. And weekend services are where you and your children can come and begin to have an intimate knowledge and knowing of God and to come to Christ. Weekend services are where we give people the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. As thousands and literally over the years, tens of thousands of people have given their life to Christ in the services. The second is to find freedom, which is getting past your past. Everybody has a yesterday that tries to chase their tomorrows. And our small groups are the way that you can get in the context of relationships where life change really does happen in relational environments, is that you get into a small group. It doesn't even have to be a spiritually based small group. It's just even the connection with other believers is where you will be able to find freedom in your life and live your life the way you were meant to live. The third thing is to discover your purpose, discover purpose. And that literally, how you do that here is to go through the Our Church experience. It will help you assimilate into your next steps here, not just for you, but your whole family. And in the Our Church experience is a gift assessment where you can find out the reason you were put on the planet. It said that the two greatest days of your life are the day you're born and then the day you find out why. And I would suggest to you, most people live and they die and they never find that out. And the last thing is that every one of you, no matter what you've been, where you've been, who hurt you, what ditch you think you're in right now in your life, you were called by God to make an impact in your life, an impact beyond the circle of your own life, beyond the footprint of your own life to make an impact. So if those four things happen for you, you will live an incredible life on the earth. And I want to encourage you that you were called to make an impact. And that in this church, you do that. One way you do it is by serving. Serving beyond your own needs. Listen to me, please. Do not wait for your life to be perfect to live beyond your needs. It will never happen. The Bible tells you in watering others, you will actually water yourself. In your greatest area of sorrow, find a way to serve right there. And you will experience grace, not just for the people you serve, but for yourself. And so as we step into the message today, I want to talk to you about having authority in three worlds and what that means. I want you to understand that Jesus has literally given us power of attorney to use his name. Now, the power of attorney is only as good as the name that backs it. Power of attorney is when you literally are being represented by another person. It's the authority to act for another person. My brother Mike really blessed Michelle and I. This was years ago. And when the housing boom was going on in Florida, and he was investing in real estate, and he's a really smart guy. And he called me one day, and because he's always looking for property. He said, John, I found this really cheap piece of property. And I mean, it was under $100,000. It was cheap, and it looked cheap. And he said, but you know what? I'm telling you, this would be a great investment. And so I was able to take a home equity loan, and I gave him a power of attorney. Now listen, he went and he did the closing for me. He had the authority to use my name. He did the closing. I had a renter that I never met, a house that I've never seen. And 1 year and about 4 days later, I sold that house and made somewhere between, I think, $50,000 and $60,000. And I'm living in the house I'm living in today because he was able to do something for me in my name. And he actually did the closing. I never saw the house, never met the renter. And I'll tell you what, I'm waiting for another call from my brother. That was a really good day. But here's the reality. Power of attorney is, let me say it this way. Power of attorney is like somebody giving you their credit card. Now, that credit card is only as valuable as the person that gave it to you. If someone who's very, very poor gives you a credit card, its limit is going to be very low. But how many of you know if Bill Gates gave you his credit card, you might have you a good weekend? Because the name behind that credit line is Bill Gates. What if the Son of God, the maker of the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, the Bible said, gave you a credit card backed by his name? That's what he's done. That's why it breaks my heart when religion seeps into people and they don't understand that Jesus came to make you free, not in theory, not for an hour and a half on a weekend, but in everyday life, to be able to walk with God in real life, not some religious facade or silly game, but a living God walking with you every day of your life. It's an incredible, incredible way to live. I want you to see where Jesus literally gives you the power of attorney to use his name. Matthew 28, verse 18. This is after the resurrection. It's right prior to his ascension into heaven. Jesus came to them, his disciples, and he said this. All authority, everyone say all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've talked to you how he gained that authority. I don't have time to go back into that, but it would do you well if you didn't listen or hear those to go back and listen. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus said, all authority, all power has been given to me. And I don't have time to go through the exchange of where the authority went through the earth, but we really went through that in great detail last week. He said, now I'm going to delegate that to you. Now you go. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. You have to understand that Jesus ascended into heaven. You understand, please, that you must have a physical body to exercise authority in this earth. That's why the Bible said, referring Jesus prophetically in the Old Testament, sacrifice and offering, God, you did not have for me, but a body you prepared for me. The womb of a virgin was where a body was prepared so the Son of God could come into the earth, because you cannot exercise authority on planet earth unless you have a body. And we are called the body of Christ. He is the head of the church where the authority is, but he has delegated that authority to his body. That's why the scripture said, you are seated together with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world to come. But most Christians live their life is that they don't have this authority. They don't know it exists, and they don't know how to exercise it. So I want to talk to you about the power of attorney, and the authority to use the name of Jesus that exists in three realms or in three worlds. And I would suggest to you, this is our summer of spiritual growth. I want you to understand, this is so important, that you delve deeply into the truths of the Word of God and find out what belongs to you and learn how to walk with God in everyday life and exercise this authority. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul writing about Jesus, he said this, "Your attitude should be the kind that was shown by Jesus Christ, who though he was God," say it out loud, he was God. Jesus was not just some representative of like some angel. He was God in the flesh. "Though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he laid aside his power and his glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on a cross." Now, who did he do that for? For you and for me. "Yet it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven." Now listen, "and gave him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of things or beings in heaven, things or beings on earth, or things or beings under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." This is God in the flesh. When he raised from the dead, and by the way, next month we're going to study the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to actually show you in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews when this event occurred. The Bible's so clear. When God literally, boom, made that exchange, and all authority and a scepter was given to Jesus, which represents authority. And he's delegated that scepter to you and to me. And he said, "But he gave him a name when he raised from the dead through his conquest and gave him a name," listen, "that is above every other name." He said, "and that at that name," the name of Jesus, "whether in three realms, heaven and earth and under the earth," which is referring to Satan and his kingdom, "that name has authority in heaven today, on the earth and under the earth where the enemy's concerned." We're going to take you into all three realms today. The last realm, under the earth, when we talk about the authority that you have to exercise over the devil, I'm going to start that. But next week, I'm going to go into great detail how in your everyday life, and it is so, so practical of how the Bible tells you how to exercise that authority. And if you'll do it, I'm telling you, it will change your life. I don't care how you were raised, what's going on in your life, who harmed you, who didn't harm you, what you believe about yourself, what you don't believe about yourself, the good, the bad, the ugly. If you will learn how to win that warfare the Bible talks about, your life will never be the same again. Do you understand when we talk about walking with God, knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, and making an impact, I am talking about the God of all creation partnering with you as your Father to take you places you could never go without him. He's an amazing God, and he loves you with an everlasting love. But then he said this, "but at that mention of that name, every knee," everyone say every. "Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's the Lord." So I know a lot of people that haven't confessed Jesus. It ain't over yet, big boys and girls. When you will either, listen, this is so important. You are either going to pay for your sins or you're going to receive the payment Jesus made, but your sins will be paid for. Redemption, the blood of Jesus, the life of Christ hung on that cross to pay my sin debt. When I give my life to Christ is when I accept the payment for my sins that God himself paid in my behalf. Those who die without receiving that payment will pay for their own sins. And that's why Jesus said so clearly, there is a heaven and there is a hell. He talked more about hell than he did heaven. He paid an enormous price to ensure that human beings don't have to go to that place and spend an eternity in the absence of the presence of God. And literally in the scripture, he said, every knee will bow. You can bow your knee now, or you can bow it on the other side of life, but you will bow. When you stand before a living God, you will bow. Your tongue will confess, he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It will happen. Every human being will do it. I pray that you do it on this side of heaven and that you receive the payment for your sins, because they're going to be paid for. Either you pay for them or you receive the payment Jesus made. Now let's talk about the authority of the name of Jesus in heaven. Jesus said these words in John chapter 16. And he's talking about the day that he's going to ascend and not be on the earth anymore. He said, "And in that day, you will ask me nothing." See, up to this point, he's there. They're asking him for things. "In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name," say it out loud, "in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Do you understand that when you go before God, and I want to encourage you, don't just call him God. He's your Father. Call him Father. When you pray, just say, oh God, I understand that he is God, but oh, the price that was paid so you can call him Father. Learn to say, my Father. The most impacting word that I ever hear in my life, it stops me dead in my tracks when my two daughters say the word daddy. I'm ruined. Daddy, you want my arm? I'll cut it off. What a price that was paid for you to be able to call him Father. And Jesus said, my name gives you access to ask, listen now, your Father, whatever you will, and he'll give it you. Now, of course, that's within the context of the Word of God. You know, you do have limited power of attorney. The Bible said this in 1 John, that if we know that God hears us, we know that we have the petition we desired of him. How do we know that? He said, if you ask anything according to his will, we know that he's heard us. And if we know that he's heard us, we know that we have the petition we asked for. So you can't ask, how many of you know you can't ask God to give you someone else's wife if you're married? That's a great place to go. Amen. Come on now on Father's Day. You can't say, you know, Lord, I really hate that person. Would you help me kill them and not get and get away with the murder? He won't help you do that. So you do have limited power of attorney. But you know, most Christians do not know how to pray and go to the Father and say, Father, by faith, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, your Father will give you what you ask. And most Christians do not know how to ask in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not a rabbit's foot or a lucky charm. It has been conferred upon Christ through conquest. And then he conferred and delegated that name to you. And he said, you bring that name into heaven, and the God of the universe will listen to your request and grant it to you. And that's where the prayer of faith comes in. And I don't have time to teach you about the prayer of faith, but you exercise and you walk from that place of prayer, rejoicing, saying, Father, it's mine. I have it now, no matter what it looks like, because my God is true. Let every man be a liar, every circumstance be a liar. When recently we were overseas and Michelle and I were in Vietnam, and a lot of people said, well, you only wrote about Thailand. We could not make public we were going to Vietnam because of the persecution there and the difficulty that would have occurred because they do a web crawl on your name right when you come in the country. And it would have been very difficult for the people that were there and for Scott and Krista Fletcher, who Scott's my brother-in-law and Michelle's brother, and the work they're doing there. Been over there 17 years. And when we got over there and I began to see the work that he had done, and the leadership networks that have been built in Laos and Cambodia and even into Burma and Vietnam, the work that's been done over 17 years. And then I began to meet with some of the people that have been impacted. And Scott shared with me that, you know, God's given us the ability through the leaders we've developed to plant. We're going to plant 20 churches, in 15 churches in Cambodia and 20 churches in Vietnam. How many of you have heard me talk about that? And while I was there, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And he said, I want you to believe me to fund those. See, the Bible says some are called to go, some are called to send. Here's what I did. Now listen to me. I just stopped because I knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. I said, Father, I just come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you right now. I bring before you these church plans. And by faith, I believe right now I receive from you the finances. Give me the grace and the influence to raise the finances, to see the finances come in so that they can go do this work that you've called them to do. Men and women going into places. And Vietnam has recently, since we were over there, made some changes in their structure and their governmental rules that the persecution is now going up. These are people willing to hazard their lives for the gospel. And we weren't back a week. We were still at the movie series. $100,000 had already been given. He said, well, how'd that happen? Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then the Vietnam church, the same with that. We're 15 churches in Cambodia for $105,000 paid for. Amen. Isn't that good? 15 churches in places that have never had a church, ever. 20 churches will be launched in Vietnam. And last night, a couple came up. In fact, oh, and by the way, I thought I might mention to you that they just got back from where they live in Thailand and the work they do overseas. And Scott and Krista are here with us right now this morning. Would you guys stand and give them a hand, would you? You're doing such a wonderful work. So I asked Scott and Krista, hey, said, stand out by the fountain where I usually stand, and anybody that wants to come talk to you or pray for you or just encourage you, just be out there. And I'm going to be in the Connection Center. Michelle and I will be over there to greet you today. And but Scott and Krista, last night, a wonderful couple in our church came to me and said, Pastor John, we want to fund one of the churches. You can fund a whole church plant in Vietnam for $9,000. And so last night, just two people came and literally over, just two people that God put it in their heart, $10,000 again, just like that, into the kingdom of God. It's an incredible thing to walk with God. Listen to me, it is an incredible thing to walk with God. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now here's the other one, authority to use that name in the earth. Jesus said in John 14, which is going to sound like a contradiction. Remember, he said, in that day you will ask me nothing. But now listen to this, it sounds like a contradiction. John 14, 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Say it, the works that Jesus did, I will do also. So Jesus is talking to his people about the continuation of his works in the earth. And greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. Now listen to this verse. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, you just told me not to ask you anything. You said, in that day, I won't ask you anything. I'll ask the Father in your name and he'll give it to me. See, if you don't understand the languages behind the Bible, that's why the Bible said, study to show yourself approved unto God. You've got to dig into these things. The word ask is very different here. And I've actually put it in the verse behind me. It's the Greek word, however you pronounce that, A-I-T-E-O. And it simply means to demand, to call for, or require. He said this, I want you to continue to do my works, and whatever you demand in my name, I will do it. Jesus said this as well, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. If any two of you shall agree on touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them, for my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I, Jesus, am there in the midst of you. Where he said, in my name, there am I. He said, to continue my works, you've got to make demands on this planet in my name. And what you demand, I will back. This isn't praying to God. Most Christians know how to at least maybe ask God. They may not know how to do it in faith where they're actually believing when they pray. But most Christians live and die and never exercise this kind of authority. Let me show it to you in the Bible. Peter and James were about to go into the temple of the gate called a temple gate called Beautiful. They were going into that temple to pray. And this is after the resurrection of Jesus, after the Holy Spirit had fallen. And look what happened in verse 3 as they came upon this man who had never walked. And the man, he's asking for money. And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. What I have I give you. What I have I give you. What did he have? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it was his to use. He said, walk. He took him by the right hand. He helped him up. Instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. How many of you know that was a different prayer meeting that morning? Isn't that a great thing to have happen? It's awesome. Evidently, when Peter looked at that man, the Holy Spirit dealt with his heart and he said, minister to him. He didn't say, oh God, my Father, I ask you to heal. He didn't do that. He said, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Jesus, whatever you demand in my name, I will give it you. He said, oh, that's crazy. That's just a little much. It is a much. It's a whole much, isn't it? Most Christians live and die and live so far beneath their authority. And when Peter and John, immediately when this happened, the people thought they were some kind of gods and they began to come and fall at their feet. And Peter's like, get up off your feet. I'm a man just like you are. And listen to what he said. This is what caused the miracle. Acts 3:16. He said, in his name, Jesus,
through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He said it's the exercise of that name. You see, this is where Christians fail to exercise their authority. They're waiting for God to do something that he's given you and delegated you authority to do it. This is a very important statement that I want to make to you, and I hope you get this. There's a difference in exercising authority in the name of Jesus and praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. I'm going to say something that's going to sound very hard theologically, but please hear me. And it'll make even more sense next week. If you don't exercise the delegated authority that Jesus gave to you, listen to me, he can't. I didn't say he won't. I said he can't. Oh, he can do anything he wants. Absolutely. But he chose to bind himself to his words. And he said, I'm not a man that I should lie. And when he ascended into heaven, he's the head of the church. You're the body. We are the only people with a physical body. If you don't exercise authority on this earth in the name of Jesus, it won't get done. It won't get done. Many years ago, when this was nothing but dirt up here on this property, Michelle and I walked on this property. We didn't pray to the Father, but we knew this was the land that we were supposed to trust him for. I don't have time to give you the story. So we walked this property, and it was impossible. Church had 600-700 people at the time, $2.4 million to buy the property, another $2.5 million to develop it, including that crazy red light. I'm serious, it was crazy. $5 million, we don't even have a building yet. But we didn't, that's not what we considered. We walked on this dirt, and here's what we did. We prayed just out of our hearts. Then we said this, in the name of Jesus, this belongs to my God. We claim this for the kingdom of God. It belongs to you now, Father. We claim it. Now, see, what do you mean you claimed it? We exercised authority in his name. So, well, isn't that kind of bold? He made the dirt. He can have any kind he wants. Amen. Christians live so far beneath their privileges. So far beneath them. On again and again and again with our kids. And oh man, your kids will go through stuff. And you see the enemy attacking your children. Circumstances coming against them. Sure, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus over our kids. I can't tell you how many times these words have come out of mine and Michelle's mouth. In the name of Jesus, I command that to stop in their life. So who are you to say that? I'm nobody. I didn't say in my name. I said in the name of Jesus. So how do you know it's God's will? Because he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He wants your children to walk with him, to know him, to fellowship with him, to possess the gates of their enemy. And as a parent, you speak out of your mouth. Let me tell you something, until it comes out of your mouth, by faith, and you say it, it remains dormant. And let me give you this final illustration. Pastors through the years have come to me when they need space for the church and they're out of space and they've done as many services as you can do on a weekend. And they said, we're going to fast and pray for a couple years to see whether we should get new space. I was like, no, don't ask God about it. He put you on the earth. Do you need room? Yes. Well, go get it. Yeah, but how do you do that? In the name of Jesus. Amen. You get up and you say, we're going to go do that. You say, well, how do you know God will back it? What do you think he wants you to build, a bar? Go do it in the name of Jesus. You say, what if God doesn't want a church built? Really? You begin to act in concert doing the works of Jesus. You don't have to pray about doing the works of Jesus. He said, do them. Most Christians live and die and never exercise the authority that belongs to them on the earth. They're basically victimized. Do you know you can look to the circumstances of your life? You can look to your past. And next week, I'm going to talk to you literally how to do this out of your mouth. It's powerful. And it's a way of life. And it will change the way you live. And the last one is authority of the name of Jesus under the earth. Demonic influence in Satan and his kingdom. I hope in these 3 to 4 weeks that he's unmasked, that he loses his mystical power over you, that you know who he is and the authority you have over him. In Luke 10, 19, Jesus said, I have given you authority. Everyone say authority. To trample, that means under your feet. The Bible said Satan's under our feet. You are aware of that in the book of Ephesians. Can I ask you a question? Where do the feet reside, the body or the head? Well, if you see a head walking with feet, you call me. Listen to what he said. I give you authority. I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Jesus said, I give you authority. It's the Greek word exousia. I give you authority over all the dunamis. That's the Greek word for power. And that's where we get the word dynamite. He said, I give you authority over his power. You can't match Satan and his kingdom power to your power. But delegated authority, Jesus backs his name. He said, I give you authority. Just prior to this, he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. I saw it happen. He said, because they came back and said, Lord, the demons are subject to you and subject to us in your name. He said, I saw that rascal fall from heaven when it happened. No big deal. You rejoice that you know that you know God. Don't rejoice over that nonsense. He's nothing to you. Jesus made light of him. He said, I give you authority over his power. Remember, authority is what a policeman does in front of a car. They put up their hand, and what happens? The car stops, not because of the power of the policeman, but the authority that backs the policeman. You obey a policeman when they direct traffic because of the authority behind them, not because they have the physical power to stop your car. Jesus said, I've delegated you authority. The same way a traffic cop has authority and you obey it, Satan has been given, literally, Jesus took back that authority from him and he delegated it to you. And he said, but you have to exercise it. If you don't exercise it, it doesn't get done. And Mark 16, let me read this and we're going to tell you one more thing and we'll close. This is after the resurrection. He said to them, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Scott and Chris are doing over in the 1040 window, the part of the world where the kingdom of God has been shut out. Christians are being murdered and persecuted for their faith. 17 years they've lived their life there because they were called to go there. And churches are expanding and the kingdom of God is expanding. And governments like communist governments, they can't stop it. Communism is so evil. It's so evil. It's so evil. What it does to human beings. And they took Jesus at his word, and we get to stand. And remember, they're going to be out by the fountain. You go out. Hey, and if you want to help plant one of those churches, you go out and talk to them. And you can just write the check to Victory, and we're going to get this thing done in the name of Jesus. So how do you know that? Because I've asked the Father in his name. Why don't you just do a big fundraiser? I'd rather you hear God. I'm not a fundraiser, I'm a faith raiser. You know Jesus. If he deals with your heart, do it. It's that simple. He said, you go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be damned or condemned. That's the price. And these signs will follow those who believe. Listen, in my name, they will do these things. Cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He said, believers will do these things in my name. Now, John Spencer, I know you're from West Virginia. The snake thing doesn't mean you can handle snakes. Okay, that means if one would bite you like it did Paul, he shook it off in the fire and it didn't. He felt no harm. So we just have to be careful. Pastor Spencer's from West Virginia. He might be biting. He might be tempted to go get a box of rattlesnakes. We don't want you to do that. I'll pray for him, okay? And if you're from West Virginia, we love you. It's almost heaven because it's next door to Pennsylvania. But anyway, let me give you an example and we'll close with this one. A while back, I was praying for somebody. And when I laid my hands on them to pray for them, the minute I touched them, I had what the Bible calls a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is an impartation of the knowledge of God, a word or a fragment of the knowledge of God about a person, circumstance, place, or a thing. And the minute I laid hands on that person, no one talked to me. I'd never met the person before. I knew by just a simple word of knowledge, by revelation of the Holy Spirit. He said, well, that scares me. Can I ask you this question? Why should walking with God scare you as a Christian? What made me afraid is not being able to walk with God and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, you can't make these things happen. I didn't expect it to happen. I touched that person, and I knew by revelation that quickly. This person, it was like there was a vice around their head, squeezing their head. It would have mimicked what would amount to the symptoms of a migraine, but it wasn't a migraine. And I knew that it was an oppressive spirit that had begun to crush this person's head, and it was demonic. Now, for some of you, that's like, well, that's kind of creepy. Well, let me tell you why and how I prayed. I prayed over that person, and there was music playing, and I whispered what I'm about to tell you. And here's why. Because what I'm about to say, if you mishear it, you think, well, that person you said is demon-possessed. They were not. They were oppressed. The person never heard me pray. No one heard me. Satan doesn't answer the volume of my voice. He answers the authority in the name of Jesus. So I laid my hands on him. And here's all I said. Whispered it. I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of this man now. I command whatever little imp or whatever's around his head, command you to come off of him now and go. And I'm whispering this. He never heard a sound. The power of God, boom, hits this guy. And I grab him and I talk to him and I said, sir, tell me what happened. He said, oh, I've been having these migraines. It's like vices around my head. You prayed for me and it's gone. Now, there are migraines and they're not devils. There's migraines. This was not a migraine. He said, well, you know, that's just a little bit much for me. I'm educated. Well, can I suggest to you, you might be a little too educated. Because Satan's tactics are stealth. I'm going to be subtle and make you think you're so brilliant because you've lived all of 50 years. Imagine the arrogance of human beings. Well, I know I've been to school and talked to people. And I'm 50 or 60 or whatever you are. Or you could be a teenager, because we know they know a lot. No offense, teenagers, we love you, but you know, there's stuff you look at. How many of y'all teenagers, you look at your parents like, dude, can you get out of the rain? What is wrong with you? And then you get older and you find out they knew a little bit more than you thought, a little bit more. God has called you to exercise dominion and authority in three realms. This is the way you were meant to live as a Christian, not to be beaten down. Jesus said, you occupy till I come. He didn't say go hide and pray and hope to make it to the end. He said, occupy. I called you to be an occupying force. You exercise dominion. Next week, I'm going to take you into scripture that's going to show you in your everyday life. And it's not crazy and complicated. It is simple where you can walk this out in everyday life. I don't care where you're at in your walk with God. You can do this and you can live a different life than you're living today. And you can let whatever Satan has intended for your life in the kingdom of darkness to take, to steal, to kill, and destroy from you, you can put a stop to in the name of Jesus. So I've asked God to do it. Listen to me. He won't. What do you mean he won't? He gave you the authority to exercise. You must exercise that authority. Next week, we're going to take that into a whole other level. How to win that daily battle. How to exercise that authority. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person here. Under the sound of my voice, I thank you that no matter where we find ourselves today, that there is a God that loves us with an everlasting love. Jesus, thank you for giving us your name, delegating the authority of that name, which has authority in three worlds, heaven, earth, and under the earth. And Lord, we say, let God be true and every man a liar. Lord, I pray that the revelation of your word finds a lodging place in the heart of every hearer, that the enemy doesn't come to steal that precious seed, but it will grow and bear great fruit in their life. The generations will be different because they've learned how to operate in the authority that's been delegated to them. Father, I thank you for that. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you drew your final breath today and were to slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? With every head bowed, every eye closed, please, please, please hear me. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. I trust you are. That's a great thing, but that doesn't get you to heaven. Why I go to church, that's great, but this church, any church won't get you to heaven. Why I've been baptized, wonderful, but being baptized doesn't make you a Christian. I don't care. No sacrament of any church, including this one, can make you right with God. Have you ever invited Jesus into your heart? He turns no one away. When you invite Christ into your heart, you're receiving the sacrifice that he paid on that cross just for you. He turns no one away. Your sin debt will be vanished. You can receive the debt he paid for you, or you can pay it yourself. There's only A and B. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to my Father except through me. He's the only one who paid your debt. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, yet you believe he's the Son of God, died on the cross, buried, and rose from the dead. You've never given your life to Christ, or you're not certain. I want to pray for you right where you're seated. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, and those of you watching online right now, if you desire to make Christ the Lord of your life, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, say, Pastor, include me in that prayer right where you're seated right now between you and God. Just simply raise your hand high so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to make thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. One last moment as I look around this room. You've not yet raised your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you and never, ever forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. We will pray it together with you. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a big hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.